Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Take a Deep Breath. My name is Mike Mayer. I'm a breathwork coach, and I'm the host of this YouTube channel where we talk about breathwork, wellness, and everything that kind of sits in between. And today, I have the absolute privilege of bringing back my friend for the third time, Mr. Jesse Coomer. I think he's in joint first place now with the wonderful Patrick McEwan, author of The Oxygen Advantage. The reason Jesse's come back, he's come back to talk to us about his new book, which is titled The Language of Breath, which I just love that, breath being a language. He's going to explain in this podcast how we should be using the breath to have a conversation, as opposed to, I feel stressed, do this breathing technique. He'll go into a bit more detail about the conscious, the subconscious, this other version of us that is still us, and how we should be using the breath to go back and forth. Never had it explained in this way before, and it got me very excited, not only about my practice with my clients, but also about the relationship that I have with myself. And he's got some really nice takeaways. There's a couple of really nice techniques he gives us in this as well. The book is worldwide out everywhere, Language of Breath. Highly encourage you to click the link and get a copy for yourself or somebody close to you. And Jesse also has a three-day Language of Breath challenge coming up. It's a live challenge, so I'm going to link that down below as well. I can't wait to do it personally. I hope you'll come and join us. Thank you so much for being part of this podcast and this community. It means the world to me if you can subscribe, like, share, and comment. Any of those things are ace. And the more we get people subscribing and engaging, the more we grow. We're almost at 200,000 beautiful human being breathers, which is just incredible. It allows us to get bigger guests on, people that I feel are going to be really valuable to us as an audience. And so I made a commitment to you a little while ago saying my goal is to bring you one impactful conversation every single week. I'm on track to continue doing that. It's a lot more work my end, but actually a lot more fun, and it's keeping me sharp. And so I know that I've got these promises to deliver on, and that is my goal. And so if I could just ask, if you've had any value at all from this podcast, please subscribe, please like, please share, and please comment. One of those things, all of them would be incredible. Also, I've linked down below my 7 essential breathing exercises. It's a little ebook. It gives you the what, the why, and the how of it. My favorite breathing techniques, and then also allows you to play with those breathing techniques as well. So join the thousands of people that have already downloaded that. Get to sign up to my mailing list. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce you now to previous English language professor, and now the author of The Language of Breath. He's an awesome dude. If you, this is the first time you've come across Jesse, go back and watch the previous stuff. And yeah, you can have a blast in this conversation. Thank you. Cheers. Mr. Jesse Coomer back in the house. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, good to see you, Mike. It's always good to be here on Take a Deep Breath.
This is officially number 3. You're now in line with Patrick McEwan, our most frequented guest. So who's going to be number 4? Maybe it'll be you. We shall see.
Very nice. Very nice. Yes, I got to get the bragging rights.
Mate, it's I'm really looking forward to today. You got a new book out, The Language of Breath. We're going to dig into that. I've been thinking about, like, what's the best opening question to ask? What keeps coming back to me is, why did you write this book? What made you come back and write another book about breathing?
Yeah, because I swore I'd never write another book, to be honest. So for those of you guys who have not met me, if you haven't seen the other episodes, I mean, bless your heart. You know, it's my story through breath work is one of a disconnection within myself. I had really early on, I had this disconnection where I didn't really understand the messages that I was receiving, a lot of these sensations. And I think most people can relate to this, that in, at least in my case, I had social anxiety, right? And then the sad thing is I was also an extreme extrovert. You know, I like to talk. And so I was getting all kinds of anxiety, trying to do the thing that I needed to do to feel good about myself. And so that's how I kind of came to breath work. Ultimately, I was learning, I was trying to find ways to deal with stress, to deal with anxiety in a positive way. And so I wrote my first book in 2020, A Practical Guide to Breath Work. And that kind of told my story. It told a lot of the story of the autonomic nervous system. A lot of the things that, and I always talk about, the reason I wrote that book was because it was the book I wish I would have had when I started breath work, you know, all those years ago. Same can be said about this book. Actually, I didn't even mean to write it. I mean, it's not like I wrote it by accident, but I was speaking at a symposium and somebody said, "Hey, I loved your talk and we'd love to publish your book." And so I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And then I fell in love with writing. So who knows how many books are in me, but ultimately, this is the book that I wish I would have had again. So I wish I would have had this information earlier on. And so what the language of breath is all about ultimately is starting to understand ourselves better and learning how to interact with ourselves in a better way. So we do this in three steps. One is we have to start to look at ourselves in a different way. The current paradigm that we have oftentimes is I am a mind that drives around this body. It's almost like we're this machine. You and I are similar age. You remember the Ninja Turtles, right?
Of course.
At least, you're right. You know, the Ninja Turtles, and then you had Shredder, he was the bad guy. And then there was this Krang guy, the brain that would drive around this machine body. Do you remember that guy?
I don't remember. Splinter. I don't remember this guy, though. If you love breathing as much as I do, then you probably already know that breath work is one of the fastest ways we can change our state. So we can induce feelings of concentration and focus. We can make ourselves relax. We can fall asleep. We can lower blood pressure, improve heart rate variability, improve lower back pain, and so many other things. But there's so much out there, right? There's so many contradictory methods. There's probably thousands of breathing techniques out there. There's hundreds of different people talking about breath work right now. It's getting really popular. And so it can be quite daunting to know where to start. Well, look, I've interviewed about 100 of the world's top experts now. I've got a whole podcast dedicated to it. So if you want to get stuck into those, absolutely can do, and you can learn like I've learned. Or for those of you out there that are thinking, do you know what, I just want to know the information that's bespoke to me right now, then I actually take on one-on-one clients. So I only take on a very, very small amount of clients each month, and I build a package that's just for you. So we start off by doing your breath assessments. I will run through about five different ways that I can measure your breath. So we'll get a really good view of your chemistry, of your mechanics, your nervous system, your sleep, really build a beautiful picture about what's going on with you right now. Then we look at your goals. Where are you trying to get to? What is it you really would like? If I could wave a magic wand for you right now and you could get anything by using the breath, what would it be? And then we look at those two things, and then I help you then get that by building your own bespoke breath coaching package. So it's very exclusive. It's only a couple of people. It's direct access, one-on-one. They book up fast. So if you'd like to have a complimentary breath consultation with me, see if you'd be a good fit, then click on the link below. There's a small questionnaire to complete, and then we can jump on Zoom, have a chat, and if it's a good fit, then we can get stuck into your bespoke breath coaching plan. Thank you so much for listening. Now back on with the podcast.
Okay. So maybe I was more of a Ninja Turtle guy. You know, I was always, as a kid, kind of hoping I would get exposed to radioactive material and then turn into a turtle. Glad that didn't happen. But yeah, so there was this bad guy they had, and he was this disembodied brain, and he would just drive around like a robot legs, and he had like a robot body and whatever. And I think a lot of times we look at ourselves like that, and it's as if there is this, as if there's a like a border, like some kind of a border at our neck. And I think in our space, we've really tried hard to say, no, it's mind and body. They're connected. But I want to, in the language of breath, I really want people to start to see themselves as a complete whole thing, right? It's mind and body. It's all the same thing, right? You are 37.2 trillion cells all working together to try to thrive and survive on planet Earth. And so the first step of learning the language of breath, and I talk about this in the book, is ultimately trying to look at ourselves in a different way, as opposed to this mind that drives around a body. We're all one whole organism. It's just that we have two separate experiences. And this is what I didn't understand as a young man, okay? And I don't think most of us understand this. We feel these things, anxiety, right? I feel stress. And just even the saying those words, right? There's a negative connotation, right? Stress. Ah, it's this terrible thing. Anxiety is this bad thing. And in reality, these are just signals. These are just parts of you. So unconscious processes that are trying to help you survive or to thrive on planet Earth, right? So I didn't realize this as a young man. And so I turned to drugs and alcohol to just, I was like, shut up. You know, I don't want to hear these signals, right? So I turned to drugs and alcohol as a young man. I talk about it in my first book. I talk a little bit about it in this book, but more of this in this book is really focused on really kind of a user manual for what we really are, relearning what we really are. We are an organism that's ultimately here for action. And so these signals, the stress signal, the anxiety signal, these are actually we often look at them almost as if they're outside of us. There is a stressor, right? This thing that's outside of us. But the sensation of stress and anxiety, these are coming from your unconscious processes that are trying to activate you so that you're ready and have enough energy so that your physiology is ready to take action, right? To run away or to charge, you know? And that's pretty much the list of things that it's trying to activate you for those things. Or it's like, okay, maybe we're in a situation where we can relax, where we can think more clearly. Maybe we can even think more creatively. We can recover and heal. So we have to relearn what we are, because a lot of times we just think, oh, I'm a machine, and I wake up and I turn myself on, and then it's kind of like a machine. I drive to work, and then I do work, and then I go eat, and then I process. Your physiology doesn't see it like that. So our what we are doesn't see it like that. So once we learn what those signals are, what stress is, what anxiety is, then what happened is I started realizing these are not necessarily negative things. They're just things that are there from a part of my unconscious processes that are trying to help me. And once you start seeing it that way, some of the discomfort goes away. It's still uncomfortable to feel these things, but it's not this strange, almost foreign thing. And so sometimes I say, you know, if you were standing in a field and you started to hear a voice, right, and you didn't know there was someone there, it would be really crazy. It'd be really, you'd freak out, right? And it's the same with energy. When you start to feel energy, maybe you've had a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and you know where that energy is coming from, and it's on purpose, then it's, hey, it's great. I have my cup of coffee. I feel more energy. But when you feel like it's some alien foreign thing, and you don't realize that it's coming from you, you experience it in a totally different way. It's scary. It makes us freak out. And then what that does is it just makes us more activated. It adds to our stress. And so we have this runaway stress response, this runaway anxiety, when all I was trying to do was go to a party and socialize, or when all you're trying to do is go to work and speak in front of the committee, or, you know, we experience these signals and because we don't understand what they are, we interpret them as negative. And then that starts a whole cascade that leads to even more, and then it's more scary, and so on and so forth. So in the language of breath, the reason I had to write the book is, one, I wanted to really explain this. I started to understand it in my first book, but I really wanted to explain it. It's more than just the autonomic nervous system. It's all of this unconscious parts of us, which is about 95% of who you are, right? And it's trying to protect you. It's picking up patterns. It's doing all these things. And if you're not really aware of them, and you don't really understand how they're trying to help you, you can start to feel like you're broken. You can start to feel like something's wrong with you. You can have a terrible experience, and you can lose your calm. So I wanted to write this book to really help people who are just like me. This is something that I wish I would have known way back then. It's been a little while since high school. And but I wish I would have known that back then. And then in the language of breath, we learn, okay, once you understand that what you are, then how do you interact with these two parts of yourself, your conscious processes and your unconscious processes? And we do that through the language of breath. We do it with breath work. We do it with awareness. You have to learn how to decipher these things. And then once you learn those things, then you can start to have that better relationship with yourself. And you're not always just trying to white knuckle it through the day. You can start to say, oh, I see. Oh, thank you. Oh, unconscious me is saying this. I'm going to speak back to that. All right. And you can start to have a far more enjoyable life. And it's more than just a technique or just one little process or method. It's all day long. This is, you know, your conscious and unconscious processes, they're always happening. And then when you understand kind of how these processes work, how they feel, how to interpret them, you can start taking an active role in them, and you can start to have alignment with those two things. And so I had to write the book to explain it in depth. So in this book, you're going to get an explanation of all of the stuff I just said, and in depth. It's not, and of course, if you've read my first book, you know that I try to keep things as simple as they can be without oversimplifying them, so that you really fully understand it and then you can use it in your everyday life.
Hey everyone, just a quick one. If you could take 2 seconds to rate this podcast, if you're on YouTube, you give it a thumbs up, a like, a subscribe, and a share. If you're on the other beautiful platforms like Spotify and iTunes, if you could leave us a review, it takes a couple of swipes of the thumb, leave a little thing, share it with a friend, think about how you found this podcast, think about something that might benefit from the power of breathwork. Please share this because it helps the community grow. The more it grows, the more we get the wonderful guests. Okay, back to the podcast.
Beautiful. Very cool. So you've really written something more than just about the breath here. We've gone into the mind, the subconscious. There's a lot going on here. So it's more than just like, you know, slow breathing does X. There's a lot more, which is very, very cool. So if we could make this a bit practical, because this is something I'm interested in. So I don't know, you get to the end of the week, you're pretty tired, you feel a little bit stressed. There's loads of things you haven't done. It just feels nice. I just feel like I just need a couple of glasses of wine now to chill out.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I'm still
nothing wrong
of.
With that.
I used to drink a lot more back in the day, but still I recognize within myself an uncomfortable feeling that comes up.
Yeah.
And it feels like the wine or the beer or whatever is going to get rid of it, and it does in a temporary way. It does, but then my sleep is shit that night, the next day I wake up tired, right, and I've gone on this spiral. So what's going on there? And can you give us some practical tips of what I or my audience could do when we've got this, oh, I feel like an alcohol is the solution to this uncomfortable feeling. What else could we do there?
Well, it's important to understand what's happening. Mm. It's so important. And this is why the language of breath. So I married into a Puerto Rican family. So my wife and all of her family, they all speak Spanish. And here I am. I'm an English professor. Like, I'm really good at this one language. And it's American English. I don't know where you, you know, guys in the UK put your Z's. I know you put an S on everything, where we put a Z. And there's all these things, right? So I'm very good at American English. So I, of course, where do I marry into Spanish speaking? And so one of the things you learn when you're trying to learn a language is that it's one thing to learn some phrases, right? I can ask, you know, where is the bathroom? You know, ¿dónde es el baño? Right. But as soon as I finish that sentence, I need to understand what the reply is going to be. Right. Because if I can, I can send a message. I'm going to send a message. But if I don't understand what's coming back to me, it's useless. It's like that with every language, including the language of your physiology. So the language within you. And it's inside of all of us, we have this never ending conversation happening. And so when it comes to what you're talking about, it's important to understand what it is, what that message is, what is actually happening here, so that we can use breathing in an effective way. Because a lot of times a person might say, well, you know, I've heard that XYZ technique is good for XYZ thing, right? And I was that way. And I don't think this is, I'm not trying to poo-poo on that. because that is how we tend to understand it. And if I were to say, okay, maybe I know a few phrases in a language, and I go to Puerto Rico is where my in-laws are from, but any Spanish-speaking country, and I say a few things, I can start to get by a little bit. I just know a few phrases. I can ask about where the bathroom is. I know how to ask for a beer, right? And so, I can start to get by a little bit. I can't really have any in-depth conversations. I can't really form a relationship, right? But I can start to get some responses. And so most people that come to me, they've kind of messed around with breath work. They've learned this technique. They've taken that course. They've done a lot of things. And they're like, I still, these are really cool. And this is very blissful, but I still really need, I don't understand what's really happening. And, or I'm not getting what we consider benefits, or the results, or however we want to quantify what we should be getting out of breath work. I say you should be getting a relationship with yourself. You can trust yourself. But whatever, I'm not getting those things anymore. What's the deal? And so it's really important to understand what's happening so we can interpret that. So then we can respond accordingly. And then we have to also understand the reply. So what you've got going on here is generally we call rumination. And so this is a miscommunication between the unconscious and the conscious you. So this is something we oftentimes will blame modern life for. And there are more reasons in the modern age for this to happen than maybe in previous years. But we've been dealing with this for as long as humans have been humans. So everyone listening, I want you to understand what's happening to you when you ruminate. And just knowing this, just knowing it, knowing what's happening is something that can help bring you a lot of comfort, because I want you to understand there's nothing wrong with you. This is something every human being that's ever lived we've had to deal with. So your conscious and unconscious processes are always bringing us through life. And when we talk about unconscious, we're talking about subconscious beliefs. We're talking about your autonomic nervous system functions. We're talking about everything that governs your physiology, your emotions, your beliefs, the way you see the world, the degree of threat that you believe is around you, the degree of threat that you would interpret every signal that you receive. We're constantly receiving messages from the outside world, approximately 11 million pieces of information at all times we're processing. We can only consciously process 40 or 50 pieces of information at once. So the vast majority of Mike, the vast majority of Jesse is unconscious. And that's where our personality is. That's where a lot of what we are actually is. Well, the conscious part of us is very important too. And these are two parts of us that do different things. They have different capabilities. Now, the conscious you, obviously, we can't process all that information so fast. And when we think about, a lot of times we talk about the brain being the supercomputer, right? But it takes me forever to figure out where I left my keys or those things. Well, that's the unconscious that we're talking about because it's processing insanely fast, but it has limitations. And some of those limitations is that it can only do snap judgments. It's processing very quickly, but it's not capable of close examination. So you can't unconsciously examine things in a close way, but you can with your unconscious. You can examine things. You can really think things through. Critical thinking is what we call it. It's difficult. It takes more calories. We don't like to do it. We'd rather just let the unconscious do its thing, but we do have that capacity. So what happens is the unconscious is always putting together, this is how things are. This is the way the world works. This is your situation. And whenever it's unsure of something, or whenever it's like, I need to worry about something, it's going to kick it up to the conscious you, which is capable of critical thinking. It takes longer to do critical thinking, takes more calories. It takes, but you are able to do it, and you can decipher, am I really in danger? Am I really so stressed out? Is there really a reason? Well, your unconscious and conscious, they're always chattering back and forth, whether you know it or not. And the conscious you is capable of thinking about tomorrow. It's capable of thinking about yesterday. So it's able to plan ahead. It's able to think about memories and learn from past experiences. And that informs the unconscious. The unconscious is not able to do that. So if you're thinking about tomorrow, or if you're thinking, man, I've had a rough week, these are all the things I'm worried about. And maybe it's who cares what day it is, you know, tomorrow I've got this appointment, or maybe it's even Friday evening when it's, you know, that's a typical time to have a glass of wine or a glass of beer. But man, Monday's coming. Monday's on its way. And on Monday, there's going to be all these things. Well, what happens is, okay, this is something I want, a takeaway I want to give everybody. Your rumination, and it's been this way since people were people, is because you consciously know the challenges that you're about to face. It's coming in the future, and you can consciously think about the future. The unconscious you, which is, again, the vast majority of who you are, what you are, it's not capable. It doesn't understand time. So when you're thinking about the thing that's going to happen on Monday, which is for most people, it's going to be work, it's going to be the boss, it's going to be all these things. You're that conscious thinking informs the unconscious you about something that you're worried about. The unconscious you is going to say, is this something that could be potentially dangerous? And even if it's not physically dangerous, social danger is very dangerous, right? The boss being upset with you, or you being ostracized from a community because you said something, you know, said something wrong yesterday, right? It doesn't matter if it's today, yesterday, or tomorrow. The unconscious sees it as it's happening right now. And so it's going to try to put you in the best situation physically and emotionally and psychologically to face that situation right here and now. But you're like, I can't do anything about that. It's Friday night, and or it's Tuesday, or I have to wait. So this causes rumination. This is what we call it. We call it rumination because we can't stop thinking about it. There's a part of your brain called the motivational network. It's going to continuously say, hey, you need to worry about this. You need to worry about this. Consciously, you're saying, I can't do anything about it. I'm laying in bed. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't do anything about this. And so that's the disagreement. That's what we call rumination. So the team that is you, there's a miscommunication. And so one of the things we can do is, since we know what is the issue, right? Now we can actually use breath effectively to speak some calm into that situation. So when we have alcohol, we lessen our inhibitions and we just generally just don't care, right? So we are dissociating in some ways. And I love good beer. I'm definitely not going to say don't drink because, you know, I'm not, that's not my platform or anything, but it is all too often something we do to just try to turn off this process. And so is much of addiction. And in my first book, I talk about I had addiction issues and I leaned too much into that when I was younger, just trying to turn that off. And it works for a while. But that unconscious you is still there, and it's still going to say, hey, you know, we're trying to take action, because that's what it always wants to do. So with breath, so if we're going to say, okay, we're going to speak the language of breath, I think we all know that the language of the unconscious, you should know at least, you can't just say, calm down, right? You can't this verbally, it's not going to speak English, Spanish, German, any other language, right? So we have to learn how to speak to the unconscious in a way that it's going to understand. And one of those ways, and the way that I detail in the book, is through our breathing. So we can say, okay, I know that I'm upset about something. And the more we can consciously become aware of how we feel, the better we're going to be able to interact with this part of ourselves. So that means facing it. That means some sobriety. That means experiencing the sensations. And for many of us, it's difficult to do that. The sense of internal awareness, as much even in the breathwork space, even in the health and wellness space, as much as we talk about it, most of us are not really as aware internally as we could be. And so part of the language of breath is learning how to develop that awareness. But let's just suppose for the listeners here, let's have a takeaway. If you have a smartwatch, right? So I have a smartwatch. It tells me what my pulse is. One of the ways that the unconscious is going to speak to you, or one of the ways you can infer its messages, is autonomic arousal, right? So if you're a fan of this channel, I'm sure you've talked about the autonomic nervous system, but just as a quick primer, the autonomic nervous system is a part of us that governs a lot of our physiological processes. One of those is the heart rate. So if you're a runner, you might see runners checking their pulse and they want to make sure they're in the cardio zone, and whether they know it or not, what they're checking is, have I activated my autonomic nervous system? Am I in an active state enough to see adaptation? Because one of the ways that we speak to the unconscious is through challenging it physically or all these other things. But okay, I've got a heart rate, it's elevated. That lets me know that my unconscious has decided that I need action, I need energy. So it's giving me that energy. Well, let's suppose you're just nervous, right? You're nervous about the presentation you're going to give tomorrow. You look down at your smartwatch and you've got a heart rate let's just say it's significantly higher than your resting heart rate. So everyone's going to be a little bit different as far as what their resting heart rate is versus active heart rate. But let's say for me, I'm looking at it and it's like 100 or 120. Maybe I'm really freaking out. Well, what that is, the unconscious is saying, okay, there's danger here. And we need to run or fight. Or it's also saying, hey, there's something that's worth running toward. It's not always about danger. It can be about something that's worth running toward. But in the case of I'm worried about something tomorrow, it is we need to run away or we need to fight. Now you'll notice deep thinking, critical thought, creative thought is not part of when we say fight or flight, because these are things that are not really conducive to fighting and running away. These are things that we tend to do when we're safe. And so what happens is one of two things. You'll either just ruminate all night, or you can speak back and you can say, okay, I know that right now my unconscious believes I'm in a state that I need to take action. We would call this a stressed state. We might call this anxiety. These are ways to describe how the unconscious is speaking and is trying to give you energy and is trying to help you take action. So I can't take action right now. I need to relax. I need to calm down. So what do I need to do to clear my head and maybe take action that I can take right now? So often we get an analysis paralysis about thinking about things tomorrow we can't do anything about, when we could do things today that would help us or other people in our lives, right? And so we just get stuck. And so you can do multiple things. And a lot of these are going to sound familiar, right? And because these techniques that we've known for thousands of years, there's a reason why we've known them for thousands of years. It's just we have to learn how to, when in the language of breath, we call breathing techniques, these are kind of the phrases or the sentences of the language of breath. And just like learning donde es el baño, right? Where is the bathroom? It would not be appropriate to ask that, you know, if you're already in the men's room or you know, you need to know the appropriate thing to ask or speak at the appropriate time. So let's suppose, and this is what happens all too often. Let's suppose you're really ruminating. A person says, well, I've heard of this one technique that should be good for this time. And they start doing that technique. They're speaking the language of breath. They've understood I have elevated heart rate. My unconscious is, it believes we need to take action. I personally know I need to try to stay relaxed as possible because I can't take physical action right now. Well, I'm going to breathe in for four, out for eight. Hey, that's a fantastic, lengthen the exhale. In some cases, that's going to work really well. But just like you can't just have a bunch of boxed sentences that you're going to say in a conversation, sometimes that sentence isn't the right thing. So maybe you might try it in for four, out for eight. Fantastic technique, right? Few things. Are you breathing that technique? Are you speaking that phrase with the right tone, inflection, and presence? That matters. That matters. So often we think about breathe in for this many and exhale for this many, but we don't think about, okay, how is it said? So we're both, we're both married men, right? And so, you know, if anyone has ever been in a relationship, they know, they've heard, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. Maybe we've said these things to our spouses as well. It's the same with breath. So you can be breathing in for four and out for eight and be screaming, calm down, in the language of breath. So we need to learn how to breathe those techniques. So where to put the breath, the volume of breath to take. These would, oftentimes we talk about breath mechanics. So we're thinking about the breath mechanics of how to breathe that breath. And then when we do that, we can say, okay, is in for four, out for eight, am I screaming, calm down? Or am I speaking with the tone that's actually going to help me to calm down? So these things need to be they need to match, or else the unconscious you is going to pick it up and it's not going to mean the right thing. So if I go up to a person and I say, ¿dónde es el baño? Right. And I don't know if the tone and inflection matters that much, but if I'm screaming it, they know I've really got to pee. But the thing is, tone and inflection make a huge difference. And so, okay, so great. So now we've done in for four, out for eight. We've used the right tone and inflection through proper breath mechanics. We've used the part of the breath wave that matches what we're trying to say to the unconscious. Now, did the unconscious receive that message? So we need to be able to also be to really develop that awareness so that we can say, oh, okay, message is being received. I'm starting to become more aware of, and you can do this. I think one of the easiest ways, and we start a lot of our students off with just heart rate, because that's one that even if you haven't developed your sense of internal awareness that well, you can always look at your heart rate if you have one of these monitors. And then you can start setting up, well, I feel this way when my heart rate is here. I feel this way when my heart rate is here. And then you start to get to know yourself real well. And then you say, okay, you know what? I don't think that my unconscious is really getting the message. Maybe I need to adjust what I'm saying, or maybe I need to adjust how I'm saying it. Mm. And then you start to, unconscious Jesse is finally getting the hint. Good. Great. Awesome. I'm going to continue to speak this way. Or maybe I'm going to change the sentence or the technique. I'm going to adjust it to a different technique because now I've calmed myself down to this level, right? Now I'm calm enough that I can say this next thing. And if you've ever tried to calm another human being down, right? You may not start with, now let's take a nap, right? You probably start with, let's stop screaming. Let's calm down. Can you sit down? Or maybe we can just pace a little while. Okay, now we've paced a little while. All right, now we get, so there's a progression in a conversation. There's just the same way there's a progression in the conversation within you. And so building that relationship is the whole goal here. So taking it back, okay? So that was a long way of explaining it, but it's important to understand the foundations of it, because if you don't, it's the same as getting Duolingo, right? And learning a few techniques, right? Well, I'm done. I don't even need to practice. And I swear, Duolingo, I've tried so hard, but you have to actually practice with actual back and forth to get these things, because it's the same with your breath. You have to practice and you have to start to really get to know your, in a way we might call our unconscious, our partner, but it is still you. It's important to understand both of these things are very much you. So whenever it comes down to, I need a beer, I need a glass of wine. Again, I love to celebrate the weekend. I love to celebrate a cookout or something like that. But when we use it to try to calm down, we can also say, what's actually happening? okay, this is natural. It's been happening to humans since humans have been, I mean, Epic of Gilgamesh, all these, you know, Homer, the Odyssey, all these ancient stories, they had the same thing happening. The conscious and the unconscious, there was a disagreement. How can we start to bridge the gap between these two parts of ourselves so we can start to live a better overall life as a team?
I love that. You know, first of all, I've married into a Polish family. And so I have a similar situation.
Ah, yeah. Hey, awesome.
We were in Krakow a couple of days ago, and I went to the bar, asked for a glass of Coke, asked for it in Polish, thinking I'm dead clever. She speaks back to me, asking if I want ice. I haven't got a clue what she just said. I'm now just staring there going, I'm English, and it's just awkward. And so I relate to not only your Puerto Rican explanation, but also the breath side, because so many people I know, and I've been guilty of this in the past as well, is like, do this breathing exercise. And then you do that breathing exercise and you don't feel better, or something's not right. And what we've not been doing, this is really interesting, Jesse, we haven't gone back and going, yeah, okay, what's that part of my body actually saying now?
Mm-hmm.
I need to listen, and then I need to change tact. It's not just a case of just do this for 20 minutes. It's, well, a conversation. You know, fascinating.
Yeah, and we've looked at these things as symptoms as opposed to what they really are and their messages. So we look at anxiety, we look at stress as symptoms. What are symptoms? Well, those are the signs that you know something's wrong, right? Whenever you have symptoms, oh man, there's something wrong with you. And the thing is, this aspect of being a human being is the reason why you and I are here today. If these things did not exist, then no one, like, we are speaking to each other across an ocean. This same process of conscious and unconscious, the actual disagreement between these two things, that's how we also get curiosity. Because what happens is this motivational network, this unconscious part of you, says, huh, I wonder what's across that ocean. I wonder what's over on the other side of this hill. I wonder what's over there. And what happens is, then it says, you know, conscious me, I want you to think of what could be there. The conscious you says, well, there could be gold, right? That's what got us, or spices. That's what got us over here. There could be, you know, another tribe to mate with. There could be, fame and fortune, right? They're, just imagine if I were the person that got over there first. And so the unconscious says, well, let's see, fame and fortune, gold, you know, the spices, all these things, those would help us survive and thrive. Those are things that would help build our ability to survive, because we'd get more money and we'd have, and if fame and things, that would actually improve our social status, which is just as important. And being a human, right? The thing that makes us human very much is not just we're out there to eat and fornicate. We're also there. We want to have, I always speak with my hands, and on Zoom, it makes me raise my hand. But we want to rise in the social structures. We understand the value in those things, or at least we understand the value in falling down in those, which is another reason why we ruminate. So it gnaws at us. What is on the dark side of the moon? What is out there? We've got to get, you know, to this new place. It's part of what it is to be a human that has driven us to some of the best possible things that we can do. It also drives us crazy. And understanding that this is not something that's wrong with you is the foundation of, okay, now how do I interface with this process? How do I interface with this element of being a human being? And again, the first thing we have to understand, it's not just a 100% top-down thing. You have to be friends with this part of yourself, because it's still you, and it's actually stronger than the conscious you in many ways. We understand what it's like to try to start a new habit, right? I know I'm not supposed to drink too much beer, right? Or I'm not supposed to have, you know, too much sugar or whatever. I can consciously white knuckle it for a while, right? And so much of the discussion, at least I was very guilty of this in my early part of my breathwork career, is it's all about control, right? Control, control, control. And, you know, Top-down control is an amazing feature that we have as an organism. It does exist and it's very, very powerful. But if you're not working as a team, then you can never really rest. You're always white-knuckling it. You're always top-down control. And so what we can do with breath is more than just alleviate the intermittent stress response. We can do more than feel blissful, you know, with a technique or a session in the morning or the session in the afternoon. We can actually start to form a relationship with ourself that we've never had before. And we can start to trust ourselves. We can say, okay, I'm going to start to develop new patterns and habits because I'm going to be able to speak to my unconscious. I can interface with this in a way that lets my unconscious feel safe enough to develop new patterns and habits. So you have to understand those patterns and habits are oftentimes, they seem to be hardwired because as far as you know, and when I say that, as far as your unconscious knows, right, which is you, those patterns and habits are there. And they're the thing, the only reason why you've stayed alive this long. They are the thing that are keeping you from all the dangers. They're the things that are keeping you having friends. And they're so important. We can't get rid of those. So that's why a lot of behavior changes, even though we consciously want to make those changes, it's very difficult. And the two easiest ways, you know, when I coach athletes, I always say, you know, I can make you run faster if I make you feel absolutely afraid for your life. Right. But I can't do that every day. Eventually, you're going to understand I'm not really going to hit you over the head or shoot you or whatever things that I could think up of on the maybe first couple of days. The other way is to make you feel safe enough to do it. So if you feel safe enough, then you can start doing these behaviors and you can start to see yourself as a whole new person. You can start to say, well, I'm a person who can take action in these ways. I'm a person who I'm not relying on these old patterns anymore because I'm safe enough to forge a new pattern. And I'm working with my unconscious as opposed to just struggling and white knuckling against the stress and anxiety. I'm reducing that response. I'm telling that part of myself, you don't have to, we're actually safer than you think because I can do the thinking and the critical thought. Okay, now partner, who is my unconscious, who trusts me because you kicked this up to me with the stress response. I'm going to reply back to you using this language. We're all right. Yes, vigilance is, it's not like you're suddenly going to take a nap. We still need to stay vigilant. And I know you're still saying, I think we might be in danger. And I appreciate that. But I'm going to speak some calm into this relationship so that we can take a step forward that we normally wouldn't be able to take or that I would normally have to white knuckle through. And then you can start to see these changes much faster. Now I'm a person who thrives in a social situation. Now I'm a person who thrives in a meeting that I normally would hate going to that meeting. Now I'm a person who thrives when I'm driving on the highway and there's all these semi trucks in the chaos of that used to drive me crazy and make me have so much anxiety. I'm a person who can thrive in those situations because every time you successfully complete them and you feel safe enough to successfully complete them, you start to train that part of yourself, that unconscious, see, we're a person, we're totally capable. And so the ramifications of renewing how we look at ourselves, really changing that paradigm, it's not top down necessarily all the time. That's not the goal, at least. It's a relationship. Once you start to see yourself that way, you can start to interface with that other part of yourself and you can start to create a far better experience rather than having to white knuckle everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm picturing two me's now next to each other.
Good.
And there's one just freaking the F out. And I'm like, hey, just chill out. And I'm like, you're not listening to me. And so I'm just picturing like having that conversation. And actually it's really... Yeah, it just feels really good. It just feels really good because you wouldn't just go, just do this, and I'm not going to listen to you anymore now. I'd go, try this. How are you feeling right now? And then, yeah, going back. Like any conversation. Interesting. Very interesting. Can you tell us a bit about the smiling back exercise? What's going on there?
Yeah. So actually that's, I'm glad you're in this headspace, because this is an exercise that I encourage people to do. And I'd love to share it on your podcast. Ultimately, if a person can just even close their eyes, and if you're driving, you don't have to close your eyes, but if you close your eyes and just picture your own smiling face, right? If you just picture your own smiling face and just kind of introduce yourself to yourself, right? We often just associate, we identify as the conscious part of ourselves. So just look back and understand that there is another part of you that is you. And just kind of just observe that face. That is your face. And that is the unconscious you. And that part of you is saying, you know, I'm here. I'm always trying to do my part based off of the best information that I have available. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to put us in the physiological, the emotional, the psychological states that I think are the best for this moment. I love you so much. I'm going to do all this. I am on your team. You're not alone. And then you can introduce yourself. Hi, unconscious me. I am the conscious you, you know, and you know, I'm here to solve problems. I'm here to critically think, and together we're one team. And ultimately just doing that as a mental practice, and you can open up your eyes and just having that as a mental practice of just seeing yourself as more than this singular thing. Seeing yourself as what we really are. It's really incredible what we are, because, you know, and we overlook it so often that, you know, and oftentimes when I talk about the unconscious you and how it influences how you see the world, and a lot of people don't like that at first, because we like to feel we've really got this addiction to control. And when you see yourself as a relationship, you kind of have to love yourself a little bit. And when you're in a relationship, if all you're doing is barking orders and you're not being the attentive partner that you should be and saying, hey, I'm going to listen to you, you're going to listen to me, you're not really a team. And a team does so much more than like a slave and a slave master. If you can really say, this is how I work. And it's just looking at ourselves in a different way. For so long, we've looked at ourselves, slave master, slave, mm-hmm. operator, you know, machine. You're going to have to go back and look at the Ninja Turtles and find out about Krang. But, you know, this I am a consciousness that operates this, I guess, a flesh robot. And, you know, when you think about so much of how I experience reality, so much of my likes, my dislikes, so much of who I am, it's not just this conscious thinking, problem-solving part of me. There's this whole other part of me that's trying to help me all the time. And if I'm just trying to get it to shut up and I look at it, that's the problem. You're the problem. What kind of relationship is that? So the smiling back exercise is a part of the language of breath. And just ultimately, and you can do it in many different ways. It's just a way to start to recognize, because we have to kind of, we have to rewrite that paradigm. We are born into a paradigm. Of course, in the 21st century, we've been heavily influenced by René Descartes. We call it the Cartesian split. And that's where we get this, the real codified view of ourselves as a mind that is completely separate and different than the body. And it's something that we've had for thousands of years as well, but really codified as by René Descartes. And he would describe the body as a machine. You know, we have to rewrite that paradigm and see ourselves as a relationship, because not only are we a relationship within ourselves, we are a relationship with the outside world too. And when we have a strong inner relationship, then we can meet the outside world with strength and confidence and calm and friendliness. right? Then when you see people, they're not a threat anymore. They're other human beings that are relationships just like you. And you can start to kind of forgive people even for being a little, oh man, that person must have, there's things going on. I'm a human being. That person's a human being. We're dealing with this. We've always been dealing with this as long as we've been humans. So that smiling back exercise is something to come back to every day. And it just, you don't have to close your eyes. Even when you're driving, understand that, oh, wow. So I'm experiencing this as a singular experience, but my unconscious is watching all these different directions out of my peripheral vision. It's observing the temperature. It's listening for things that I don't consciously even have any awareness of. It's hearing things. And just really value that team. That's the strongest you.
Beautiful, man. You've got me thinking about this at a whole other level now, which is really exciting. Really exciting. I'm already picturing there's two of us here in this room, which could make me sound a bit crazy, but if you've watched this podcast, they will know that that's not true. So you've got a, so the book, we're going to put the link down below so people can get the book. But you've also got a challenge. You want to tell us about the challenge? What's going on? When's it going on? What is the challenge? All that stuff.
Yeah. So we've got the book is coming out. It's available for pre-order worldwide. So wherever books are sold, wherever fine books are sold, you can go in there and say, I'd like Jesse Coomer's The Language of Breath. And you can get that on pre-order. If you pre-order, you get the guaranteed list price in wherever you live, in all countries across the world. We are also in conjunction with this, where we have a online course launch that we're going to be doing. But even before that, what I'd like to offer everybody is just the opportunity to start to really experience this new paradigm. And so we're doing a free challenge and it's coming up. It's going to be in the first part of October. And we're going to do a 3-day challenge and it's going to be live with me. And I'm going to guide you through different ways of hearing the voice of the unconscious. Because again, we can learn all the techniques, you can learn all of that, but it's really not going to be as useful as you think, unless you understand that it's all about building that better relationship within yourself. So to do that, we have to start to learn to listen. We have to start to become more aware of how the unconscious speaks. And so we're going to do the challenge. It's early October, and I'm going to be sending the Take a Deep Breath audience. I'll be sending you a special invitation for that as well. And we're just going to take some time to start experiencing that. And that is coming up, like I said, first week of October, and the book launch is October 24th.
Cool. So, very cool. Yeah. So all those links will be down below. Please go and check out the challenge. I look forward to being there as well, my friend. And I've really enjoyed this though. You've really got my brain going in a few different directions now, which is very exciting about new layers to this thing we call breath and mind and body, which is very, very cool and combining it all. I've got a couple of cheesy questions for you to close us off. I don't think we've done
this
before.
I love cheesy questions.
So where should we start? If you got stuck on a desert island and for some weird reason you could only bring one breathing exercise with you for an entire year, what are you doing on that desert island every day?
Oh, I love that question. So if I could only do one breathing technique, I probably would do sniff, sniff, poo. That is my classic. That is my favorite. Sometimes people call it the physiological sigh. But as a dad, when I became a dad, a part of my genes was activated for dad jokes and I can't get away from it. My son, he'll see me doing it. He's like, ah, sniff, sniff, poo, I see. I'm like, yes, son, you... You know me well. I love it. It can be done briefly for a little enjoyment. It can be done for long periods of time. Sniff, sniff, poo for the win.
Sniff, sniff, poo. I somebody else told me about sniff, sniff, poo, referencing you, and I was like, oh, I like that. I do. And now that I've got the dad gene as well, I do love a good cheesy joke as well.
There it is.
So that's the desert island one. Next one. So what book would you recommend? On top of obviously your two incredible books, The Language of Breath and A Practical Guide to Breathwork, what would be a very far, very distant third book? way after those.
it's like I can barely see it. It's so far in the distance. No. One of the things we're going through in breathwork is what I call the third a third wave of breath worker. And so we're looking at people that are getting more into the embodiment. What I'm looking at as language of breath, really looking at, it's not the top down, it's your whole being. And so when I look for a book, I'm looking for a book that's going to help me embrace that full beingness of how I am as a human being, and then also breath. So my favorite book to recommend when it comes to breath work, other than my own, is Jill Miller's Body by Breath. I'm a huge fan of Jill Miller's Body by Breath. I have, for my breath workers, so the Language of Breath Breath Worker School, I ask all of my new incoming class, they all need to have that as a reference book. It is a book that it has, there are scan codes that you can even watch, little videos that'll pop up. She's done a really good job of explaining how all of these different aspects of our physiology work in the physical action of breathing. And then also she even gets into some of the stuff that I, like to dive super deep into, with regards to the embodiment of our emotions and our feelings. So Body by Breath, Jill Miller, tell her I sent you.
Beautiful. I will be getting that after I've read your book, obviously, again.
Thank you.
And finally, last one. What does breathwork mean to you? The word breathwork.
So for me, breathwork, there's what it is with regards to language of breath, and you know, it's a language, and I've already spoken about that. But as far as just there is a certain thing that when you find something, you care about it very much. And as a breathwork, as a noun, breathwork as a, maybe a proper noun, a capital B for breathwork. What is breathwork to me? It is a very important thing that I want to see done. I want to see it grow in an honorable way. It's something that there are, like, for instance, there are a lot of movements that come through, like yoga, like Pilates, like certain supplementations, certain styles of workouts and things like that. And you see how they can be done honorably. And you can also see how they can be taken and really adulterated and used inappropriately, or used to serve a guru or things like that. And so I'm very passionate about the future of breath work, this beautiful modality that is central to my life now. It's something that, you know, has changed the way we look at ourselves, and it's given us an insight on who we are, what we are. It means the world to me. It means it's a very valuable thing that my hope, and what I hope that you can do, because you are one of the biggest voices in this, and I appreciate what you do on this podcast, is that it can be spread in a way that will not lead people to harming themselves, that it will not lead people to causing them a lot of over promises. You see it in fitness, you see it in all these things. One simple trick, it's going to cure all your problems. These far out there claims in every industry that's ever come out, it's always been that way. So it's something that I see as, it's very personal to me. We've been very fortunate to kind of get in on it at the early kind of the onset of the it's blooming in the world. And so it's something that's so important that, that it hurts me when I see it misrepresented. And it's something that it makes my heart sing when I see it done well. So I want to thank you for what you're doing to bring it. Your channel is fantastic. I've loved it since I've seen it. I've been jealous of it because it grew faster than mine, but this is a good jealousy. It's the kind of jealousy that you hope to have for people that are really doing good things. And I've been so fortunate to get to know you over these years. So it's something that I really appreciate what you do. And it's something that I appreciate what all people that are in this space are doing to bring their own voices to it in a way that is responsible, that is in a good and decent and an honest way.
Beautiful. Yeah. I everything you just said resonates with me completely. Yeah, it's a beautiful modality. It's having its day in the sun at the minute. It's exploding. Yeah. With that comes some charlatanism, I'm sure,
yeah,
and some other problems, but also a lot of beauty comes with that as well. And
absolutely,
you are definitely part of that beauty and sunshine, my friend. So I appreciate everything you are doing. People, go and get the book, sign up for the free challenge, and let's do this again soon, my friend.
I want to be the guy who's had four times.
Let's do
Mr.
it.
Mr. Number four.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Thanks so much cool. for having me, Mike.
Cheers, dude. Right. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for watching. See you on the next episode. Cheers.
Thank you for sticking all the way through to the end. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. There's literally a million things that you could be doing with your time right now. And the fact that you gave it to this conversation, I really want to thank you for that, because your attention is super, super valuable. And I hope you got a lot of value from this. If you did, please consider sharing this podcast with a friend or a family member or a colleague. And if you haven't done so, just a reminder, grab that free PDF that I've got, my 7 favorite breathing exercises, super simple exercises that you can just click on. It plays them through YouTube and you can just practice different things, getting to sleep, reducing stress, firing ourselves up. So that's just a really quick thing. It's a bit of value that I can give you as a bit of a thank you. And it means that you can kind of just get some practice in on some of these different techniques that are out there as well. And finally, I just wanted to mention that I am open to breath coaching. I only take on a couple of clients each month because it's very bespoke. So I'm looking for you, if you're the type of person that is high performance, that is very driven and wants to work on themselves and knows that there's something isn't quite right. Maybe there's a little bit too much stress, maybe there's a bit of anxiety. Maybe you can see burnouts a couple of stations away. Whatever it is, athletic performance, then it's worth having a free breath consultation with me. I do a complimentary 45-minute set on YouTube. And we can really have a chat and just see if the breath coaching is a good fit for you or not. And what I'll do is I'll take some breath measurements with you, work out exactly where your breathing is right now. We'll run a number of tests, get the tape measure out, measure your diaphragm and your rib cage. And then we'll look at your goals. Where are you trying to get to? What are those things? Let's try and crystallize those goals. And then off the back of that, if we think there's a really good fit there, then we can talk about my 6-week coaching package. And my goal is to shortcut everything for you, because you can hear and listen to all 100 of my podcasts. You can read 50 books on breathing, or we can spend 6 weeks together, an hour a week, and I'll help you get where you need to get to a lot quicker. So if that sounds like something that you might be interested in, you can click below to apply. It's a very limited number of spots. I'm really look forward to meeting some of you. And if it's not for you right now, then don't forget, on this YouTube channel, there's over 300 videos. We've got 100 interviews with the world's top breathing experts and 250 breathing exercises for you just to try, or categorize beginner, expert, all those different things. So what you can do next, you can try this breathing exercise here, or you might want to try this podcast here. I think that'll be quite useful for you. Thank you so much for being with Take a Deep Breath, and I'll see you on one of these or the complimentary breath consultation. Cheers.